From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Rasha McChesney with this news. Former Alaska Governor Bill Walker announced today that he's running for governor again. Walker says Alaskans feel the state is broken.
It's really a matter of fixing Alaska. It's about rebuilding trust, rebuilding relationships, so we can move on out of this the deficit we've been in since 2012.
Walker has teamed up with former State Labor Commissioner Heidi Dragas, who's campaigning to be his lieutenant governor. They will run as nonpartisans. But with Alaska's new open primary, Walker will be head-to-head against Republican Governor Mike Dunleavy on the ballot next August. The top four candidates will advance to the general. Walker was governor from 2014 to 2018. Alaska's fiscal crisis predated him, and he didn't solve it. But he says he reduced the deficit from $4 billion to about $1 billion and got the legislature to pass a bill setting guidelines on the use of permanent fund earnings to pay for government.
We ran out of time to close the last quarter of the deficit. But, we were working collaboratively with the legislature.
Walker ran for a second term in 2018. Then his running mate, Lieutenant Governor Byron Mallott, resigned amid reports that he'd made an inappropriate overture to a woman. Walker suspended his campaign days later. Mallott died in May of last year. The Lower Kuskokwim School District has agreed to pay $3.8 million to settle a lawsuit. Attorneys for two girls had sued the district for failing to protect them from sexual abuse at the hands of Christopher Carmichael, a former Bethel area elementary school principal. Carmichael is currently serving a 15-year federal sentence for attempted coercion and enticement of a minor and a 25-year sentence for sexual abuse of a minor. KYUK's Greg Kim spoke with the Anchorage Daily News reporter Kyle Hopkins, who published a story yesterday on the school district's settlement.
Kyle, you just published an article about the Lower Kuskokwim School District agreeing to pay an almost $4 million settlement in a sex abuse lawsuit. What was this lawsuit arguing?
This was the first of two lawsuits filed against the school district that involved Carmichael's years working for the district, specifically his kind of latter years as a principal in Bethel at the elementary school. And what the lawsuit is alleging is that these two children who were former students of his were sexually abused at school by Carmichael, and that his ability to abuse them was kind of enabled by the school district, that the reason he had access to these kids was because of, by virtue of his job as the principal of the school.
And by agreeing to pay this settlement, is LKSD essentially admitting that it knew about Carmichael's prior problems with students and that it mishandled those prior reports?
They're agreeing to pay this money, right? And in exchange, the lawsuit goes away and the plaintiffs can't come back and file another one. But in that agreement, they specifically say, we're not admitting guilt. It's one of those types of settlement agreements where the defendant is not admitting to do anything wrong, but they're willing to pay out this kind of extraordinary amount of money to make the lawsuit go away.
I see. And did the victims or the victim's parents make any statements in the settlement hearings?
I did talk to the mother of one of the girls yesterday, who she's making this ask that it has a little bit of precedent, but it would be unusual. She's making this ask that the state of Alaska, the Department of Education, step in, appoint a trustee who would kind of really have authority over the school district, who would then investigate, this matter, what was known and when, who knew what, why, what actions were taken. And if this trustee were to find that, people enabled this behavior, the mother's asking that those people that they be removed from the district. And so that's the unusual part here. And it's probably a little unlikely because the state Department of Education says that there's not necessarily a mechanism to do that, to kind of put a trustee in place for these matters that they would consider to be like personnel issues.
That's interesting. Has LKSD made any statement in response to that mother or in general about these cases?
They said that they're confident in their response to date, that they, their position seems to be that they went kind of above and beyond any standard that exists in other schools in Alaska to make sure that, that their employees, their administrators are being trained kind of with, the best knowledge available on how to spot grooming behavior, how to prevent, you know, sexual abuses, how to not enable this type of behavior in the future. So their position is there's a new policy and there's a new system in place that would prevent this kind of thing from happening in the future. And that, you know, certainly they're arguing that no state intervention would be necessary.
And this settlement was for $3.8 million, which will be paid out to two victims. Compared to other school sexual abuse lawsuits that you've looked at, is that a lot of money?
It sure seems to be. I mean, we had, after the story that you and I worked on last year, I think we did a round of records requests to school districts to try and get an idea of how many of these settlements are out there, because they don't. Sometimes they just happen and nobody knows about them. You know, the school districts aren't keen to advertise them, you know, and so what we wanted to just get a sense of, like, well, what have we missed? You know, what other types of lawsuits like this have been settled, you know, by Alaska school districts? And there were a few. One was already pretty well known, which was the Wales case from about 2 years ago, where the Bering Strait School District agreed to pay like $12.6 million. But there were 13 plaintiffs in that case. So I didn't find any cases where you had, this is a large payout for two plaintiffs. It might be the largest per plaintiff that we found. You know, we might be missing something. Not all the school districts complied with that records request, but among, you know, from the information we were able to get, this seems like a pretty severe penalty for the school district.
And as you mentioned, this is not the only sexual abuse lawsuit that LKSD was facing. What's going on with the other one?
That one is by two other plaintiffs. In my understanding, it doesn't involve any of the children who were kind of identified in the state charges, right? So these would be kids who we haven't really heard about before. And there's a Fairbanks firm that's handling that case. That case is still scheduled for a trial November 1st. And it's really unclear if that'll be settled. I talked to an attorney for the school district who said that case is, you know, the facts of that case are very different than the one that was just settled. And they do intend to fight that. It doesn't mean they won't settle, but what the attorney said today was they do intend to fight that lawsuit.
Well, thanks so much for talking with us, Kyle.
Yeah, you bet.
U.S. Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm visited Fairbanks and Anchorage this week. She told reporters she came to learn about how Alaska communities are innovating to produce rural energy.
What those communities need, given the shifting nature of the permafrost, et cetera, and what they will need going into the future, but then how those solutions could also be solutions for, like, Puerto Rico. You know, that kind of creating a space that is incredibly resilient from all manner of weather.
U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski traveled with Granholm. She says Alaskans innovate because they have to, because they need sustainable energy generation to survive, and because they have requirements that may be specific to their areas.
All of the great ideas don't necessarily come out of Washington, D.C. They don't necessarily come out of our national labs. They're coming from our living laboratories here in Alaska. And I think
that's,
you saw
exciting.
Some of that yesterday.
For sure.
Alaska is known for pioneering wind power with diesel backup, microgrids, and for run-of-river hydropower that does not require large dams. Murkowski and Granholm also cited the state's success with geothermal, biomass, solar, and the potential to harness the tides. Three people were killed in an accident on the Parks Highway on Sunday afternoon. Alaska State Troopers reported being notified about a head-on collision at Highway Mile 87 near Willow. They say a compact car was attempting to pass in a no-passing zone and hit a pickup truck. Both vehicles burned. The deceased occupants of the pickup truck have been identified as 69-year-old Gary Witt and 62-year-old Cynthia Witt, both of Anchorage. Troopers say they're still working to identify the car's driver, who also died in the crash. The accident closed the Parks Highway at Mile 87 until 9 Sunday night, and it was one of two fatal crashes in the area this past weekend. 20-year-old Isaiah Harding of North Pole was killed in a three-car accident at Mile 88 on Saturday. That's the latest from the KTOO newsroom. If you're looking for more state and local news, you can visit us at ktoo.org. I'm Rasha McChesney.